you. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke? The Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter, as we continue our study of the Gospel of Luke. Now in the 13th chapter, the 10th verse of that chapter. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take your word, touch our hearts, teach us, Father, to walk like Jesus. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this was Thanksgiving, and maybe you got to be around family that you're not normally around or other people. I know in this COVID things, people were more separated. But maybe you were pushed into a house setting at Thanksgiving, and maybe in that time you kind of noticed how easy it is for some people to get bent out of shape. The least things can happen. Not according to a person's wishes, and immediately they're just bent in some odd way. Somebody said, "Blessed are the flexible, for they are less likely to be bent out of shape." In our text today, we're going to see two people that get bent out of shape, or that are bent out of shape. One of them will leave straightened up, but one of them will stay bent. This passage gives us solid evidence that God's intent for us is to worship him regularly and to come to the place of worship. It's the Sabbath day, and Jesus is where he went on the Sabbath day. He was always in the synagogue teaching. Now, the synagogue in that day was dry as dust. It was a dull, boring place to be, but if you read the New Testament, you're going to find that Jesus was always going to the synagogue. From the time he was a small boy, he made it his habit to go to the synagogue. Yes, it's his habit. You know, going to church is indeed a habit. It's a good habit, and you need to be in the habit. COVID has got a lot of people out of the habit. So we need people to make sure that they are having a time of worship, a day of worship. If they cannot get here, they can at least be online, and they can set a time to worship. It was the practice of Jesus to worship. Now, there was a pulling away from the church by many throughout the ages, and today we see a pulling away from the church by many who call themselves Christians. COVID has given an excuse to people to lay out of worship. It's baffling to me. Let me just say, if you could gather on Thanksgiving, or you can go shopping on Thanksgiving, or you can spend time out and about anywhere else, you can most likely spend time out in worship. And certainly, if you cannot get out to worship, then you can stay in and worship online, because we have that opportunity as well. When we remove ourselves from worship, we remove ourselves from God's desire for our lives. We need regular worship. Regular worship keeps in your mind and in your heart that there's one place that we need to go no matter what happens on the planet, no matter how bad things get, no matter how good things are, we still go to Almighty God, we give Him the glory, we give Him the praise, and we give Him the problems as well. We lay it all at His feet. And worship gives us the understanding that He cares to be there for us in the times of difficulties. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the churching of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the days approaching." Well, churches are closing. Churches are closing in the COVID day because people have drawn away from worship. Churches are closing because people have left the understanding that worship is important to their lives and to the lives of those around them. The great loser here, the great loser is not really the church building. The great loser are the individuals. The great loser is our believers who need the fellowship of one another to stand with one another and to hold up each other. The loser is a lost world that's got to hear about Jesus. And the church's ministry is to carry them that message. I often hear all kinds of excuses as to why people don't worship. They range from sickness to silliness. Now, there may be times when you honestly cannot get to a place of worship. God has given us the opportunity, and this is a good thing that's come out of the COVID world. God has given us the opportunity to communicate and to give a worship opportunity for people that cannot actually get to the building. There was a day, and not too long ago, if you were sick and could not come, you just kind of missed out on that service altogether, but now there's a way for you to join that service. And God has provided an opportunity for you to be able to worship even when you can't be here. And so there absolutely is no excuse. If you are tied up in the time that we meet, you can even worship at a different time. So for those that think that they don't get to worship because of this reason or that reason, really there is no reason. Commonly, this time of year, we'll hear the concept that company has come. If company has come and they have come to your house, then they can probably come to God's house. Bring them. And you know, if you trust them and they don't want to come, just leave them at the house and come on. If you don't trust them, lock your doors, tell them where the closest convenience store is, and tell them they can hang out till you get back. For those that do not think they'll get in bed early enough to come to church, listen, set your clock and get up. If you would get up to go to work, then you should be willing to get up to go to God's house. And if you are afraid that you will go to sleep if you come to church, come on, you won't be the first. I would prefer you come here and give a positive testimony of worshiping Jesus than for you to stay in bed and say that your bed is more important to you than God is. Now, if anyone would have had a reason not to come to church, it would have been the lady in the text today. We would have understood had she stayed away. This is a suffering sister. In verse 11, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no way lift herself up." This woman had a problem that revealed itself in her appearance. She had a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of weakness. She suffered so that she could not stand up straight. Have you ever been bent over in pain? It's not pleasant. When I was in my 30s, I was in my 30s, I considered myself fairly healthy. and I began to not feel well. I developed a diseased gallbladder, and I was told that it had to come out. So I preached on Sunday. Monday I went to the hospital, and I had a cholecystectomy. Now I want you to understand, this is not one of those sissy surgeries where they go in, put three holes in, do the laparoscopic thing, and you're done. This is one of those things where they start mid-chest and they cut you halfway around your body. And so I went to sleep, actually walked there, got on the table, did all the things I had to do, went to sleep. When I woke up, I hurt. And this little lady came in the room and said, we need you to stand up. I thought she was kidding. She wasn't kidding. I couldn't even roll over, really. I had to put my arms on the side of the bed in order to pull over to get to roll over. Finally, I got to my feet. And you know what? That's all I saw, my feet. I couldn't look at anybody straight because I could not stand straight up. It took a little while to straighten out because I was bent. Well, maybe you've had such a situation where you were bent. Now, by the way, I preached the next Sunday, and we had a really good attendance because people came to see if I was going to pass out or not. This woman could not straighten up. She went through life with a downward look. She could only see the dirt of the ground. She could only sleep in a fetal position. People stared at her whenever they saw her. She was strange looking, bent over that way. The spirit of infirmity had overtaken her body. Now, I call her a sister because the scripture identifies her as a woman of faith. In verse 16, Jesus says that she was a daughter of Abraham. Now, this indicates she was a believer in the Word of God. She was looking for the Messiah outlined in the Word of God. And notice, though she was suffering, though she was downcast, though people looked at her strangely wherever she went, she, with difficulty, was in the place of worship. If you will look around you any Sunday in our services, you will find people that got here with difficulty. We have some people that have difficulty getting into the building, but they get into the building. We have some people that have cancer. We have some people that have sleepless nights. We have some people that work through the night, and yet they come to worship. We have people that come with difficulty, but they come, and their coming is a testimony to others. The truth is, if we have our TEL ladies that can come and get here on Sunday morning, just about anybody else can come here and get here on Sunday morning. The witness of their coming with difficulty is a witness that their love for Jesus is so much, they put their own difficulties aside. Thank those of you who come with difficulty, and yet you come. Believer, when worship time comes, you need to get yourself to worship. You need to make a way. No excuses. What a witness it is for people to come, even though they have difficulties. This poor bent over woman came with difficulty, but she came in faith. She came because she knew that's exactly where God wanted her to be. The scripture lets us know that she was bound by Satan. Now, she was not demon possessed. A believer cannot be demon-possessed, but she was demon-oppressed. Satan was using something in her spirit to bind her, and this had been going on for 18 years. That's a long time. This would have limited her from carrying out a normal life. It would have limited her from doing things that you would do around the house or to be a wife or a mother. It would have kept her from serving God as God would have her serve. Maybe today Satan is using something in your spirit to bend you over spiritually. Maybe the devil is using something in your life to bind you, to stop you from being all that you should be. Perhaps it is some guilt from your past or something someone did to you that you count as wrong, and that you've developed a bitterness, and that is scarring your spirit. There is an evangelist that used to come to Edgewood Baptist Church by the name of David Ring. Don't know whether you ever got to hear David. He would come year by year, and he would always give his testimony. And David Ring did not walk like other people walked. He did not talk like other people talked. Very successful as an evangelist. David would give his testimony, and he would say, "My name is David Ring. I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse?" The reason he came to mean a great deal to me is one of my dear friends, one of our dear friends here at Northside Baptist Church was Charlie Betty. And Charlie Betty took up that as his mantra. "I'm Charlie Betty. I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse?" And I can tell you, knowing Charlie Betty as many of you did, Charlie Betty didn't let cerebral palsy keep him from doing what God wanted him to do. What a great testimony such people are. There are emotional difficulties that can come into your life that can limit your life. There are physical difficulties that can come into your life that can limit your life. Satan was using something in this woman's spirit to bind her and to keep her from being all that she wanted to be. Could that be happening to you? Is it possible that you've allowed something in your life that has stopped you from being the witness you should be, stopped you from being the testimony you should be? Is it possible you've allowed something somebody did to you to become an issue, or something you did to someone else to become an issue? Is it possible there's something in your life that you should have gone to God with and you have not? You've held on to it? One of the greatest assaults on our spirit is worry. You know, and as Baptists, we almost give out medals to people that worry. Bless their heart, they worry. Well, no, not bless your heart. It is a damaging thing to your spirit to worry. Worry doesn't do you good. Worry doesn't do anybody else good. Instead of worry, we need to begin trusting God. Listen, it will pull you away from faith. It will crush your spirit. Like this poor, hurting woman, such things will cause you to go through life looking down. Such things will cause you to start looking at only the negatives in life. By the way, if you start listening to yourself and everything you say is negative, you have a problem. You know, certainly there should be some positive in your life somewhere, and if nothing else, Jesus should be the positive in your life. If you are suffering in your spirit, Jesus wants to set you free, just as he moved to help this suffering sister. There is a sympathetic Savior. In verse 12, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.'" The Bible tells us Jesus saw her. Many people looked and they just ignored her. Have you gotten used to looking over people's problems instead of seeing people's problems? Listen, believers are to help other people. And so when you see a need, you can meet the need, just meet the need. If you can lift someone up, lift them up. Jesus saw her in her faith as a daughter of Abraham, struggling and yet coming to worship. You know, he might have even been encouraged by the fact that she was there. That this dear lady, even though she was hurting, she had gotten to the place that God wanted her to be. The people didn't care about her. The ruler of the synagogue didn't care about her. But you know what? Jesus cared about her. I want you to know, the devil will try to make you think God doesn't care about you. The devil will want you to think God doesn't care about what's going on in your life and your heartache and the difficulty you are facing. There's a pastor, Frank Graff, who was always up on the outside. Ever see him? He was bubbly. He was smiling. Everything seemed okay. But deep in his heart, he was depressed. He was despondent. He had lost all hope. And he searched the scriptures to try to find something that would lift him up. And he came across a verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And he sat down and he began to write, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." I want to tell you, I know my Savior cares. Yes, he cares. The minute the devil tells you God doesn't care about you, you say, "Oh, yes, he does. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you." No matter who you are, dear believer, no matter what has gone on in your life, no matter what others have done to you, no matter what you have done yourself in failing Jesus, may I tell you with a certainty, Jesus still cares. He cared for you when he left heaven's throne. He cared for you when he lived on this earth, despised and rejected. He cared for you when he was nailed to the cross, put in the tomb, and when he rose again, he cares for you. And there will never be a moment when he does not care. The result of this woman wanting to come to Jesus, wanting to get close to God, was that Jesus called her to him. Now, it is really important to note that Jesus said, "Come to me." She had difficulty. He knew she had difficulty, but it was important for her to make a move of faith. Everybody Jesus calls, he calls publicly. It is important for all of us to have a stand of faith. Your coming to church is a stand of faith. Your coming forward in church is a stand of faith. Your praying is a stand of faith. We need to have those things in our life. She came publicly, and the result of her coming, in verse 13, he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight. Jesus can loosen your bonds. He can straighten your life. He can lift your burden. Believers or unbelievers, if you will come to Jesus, if you will put your trust in him, he will lift you up. But there is also here a self-righteous sinner. In verse 14, "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, 'There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come,' and he healed and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The ruler of the synagogue, the preacher of the synagogue, if you will, has the nerve to preach to Jesus. And he preaches a sermon in front of Jesus about how one is to act on the Sabbath day. He says that, you're supposed to come and you're to worship. You're not supposed to do any work, and you certainly aren't supposed to heal anybody. There are 6 days you could have healed this woman, but you chose the Sabbath day to heal her. My goodness, the nerve. I wonder how this ruler of the synagogue would have felt had God revealed to him and he allowed his mind to behold who he was talking to. I wonder how he would have dealt with the fact that he was preaching a sermon to God in God's house, to God personally, about how you're to act before God. This guy doesn't care about the woman. This guy doesn't care about Jesus. This guy only really cares about himself. You want to know what the number one problem that is crippling churches across the world? Selfish people. People that only care about themselves, only care about what they want, only care about their desires, not willing to bow down to God in his direction. He cares more about his animals than he cared about this poor lady. You will never know God's victory in your life as long as you think you know more than God does. You've got to be able to surrender to him. You've got to be able to look to his word. You've got to be willing to allow him to direct you. And because this man would not do that, he stayed bent out of shape. But there is a straightened saint. In verse 13, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This poor woman, been over for 18 years, came to church that day, and she left standing straight, glorifying God. Because she glorified God, guess what? Others glorified God. The scripture says all the people rejoiced. Not only did she get straight, she straightened out others. Her faith had a straightening effect. Your faith can have a straightening effect. Your faith can have an encouraging effect. When you stand with the Lord through difficulty and others see that, it encourages them to know where to look. And it is a blessing for you and it is a blessing for them. Today, if you will come to Jesus in faith, today if you will put everything in his hands, if you will cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, you will find that he can lift you up, he can straighten out your life, he can bring blessing to you, and he can bring blessings to others around you. That's what Jesus wants to do today. Now, if you've never met Jesus as your Savior, then that's exactly what you need to do. You need to invite Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. And I encourage you to do that this very day. Believer, if you've allowed something to get into your life to bend you out of shape, it's time to give it to Jesus, to cast it to him, and allow him to care for you and to guide you and to straighten out your life. He cares so much. Allow him to work in your heart and life. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions we need to make. Father, if anyone is here that doesn't know you, I pray that they would allow Jesus to be their Savior. That they would be willing, Father, to put their life in your hands. Father, for believers, Father, I pray that whatever is in our lives, whatever is hindering us from being all that we need to be for Jesus, that you would remove, Father, that you would take it from us, that you would straighten our lives out to be a testimony for you. Father, thank you. Thank you that you care. Thank you that Jesus cared so much that he went to the cross for us. Remind us of that truth. Encourage us, Father, in the strength that you can give us. And we praise you, Father, for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you so much for being here today. If you would, take that.